3 John. Yeah! Hallelujah. Camp meeting tramps. I know some preachers, they go from camp meeting to camp meeting to camp meeting. You say, why'd they do that? Free food. Oh, man. The Lord's good, ain't he?
Yes,
he's been better to us than we deserve. And it's good to be in church tonight.
Amen.
I like it real, man. I like it when God can prick your heart, move upon you. Now we're going to look at 3 John. John the Apostle wrote it, but he writes it to a specific person, Gaius. He says, the elder on the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. John's writing this. And he started out the other one about loving the truth, whom I love in the truth. Look, the 2 John. Unto the elder, the elect lady of her and her children, whom I love in the truth. I'll tell you what, I love when somebody, you know, they're doing the right thing, they're telling the truth, they're living the truth, they're doing, you know, and that's why I guess I love to read Brother Mike's letter about these men in Vietnam, men that love the truth, and they'll sacrifice their life for it. And, man, the truth is it's a great, great, great thing to live by and have and possess, have the truth. That's why we're teaching in Sunday school about what we believe, why we believe it, the truth. And I don't want to teach a lie. If something's a lie, I want to know, man. If it's a lie that if we believe something that's a lie, I want to know what it is. I want to know. I want to know the truth. Always know the truth. And the truth is, the Bible says, Jesus said, buy the truth, sell it not. And he said, the truth will set you free. And I thank God for the truth. I believe with all my heart we have the truth in the Word of God.
Amen.
The King James Bible. I know it's the truth. I know it without a doubt. And he says, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius. I hope somebody writes a letter and says to me, if they write to me, well-beloved. I want to be well-beloved by my brethren.
Amen.
I want to be well-beloved by the church. A lot of people say, I always tell people when I preach, I said, you know, I go away and I preach a funeral or I preach a wedding. I always tell people when I preach, I say, I don't care if you like me or not. It makes no difference, but I want you to. But I tell you what, it's a blessing to be loved by people. And everybody needs to be loved. Everybody needs to be loved. Little children need to be loved. And when children grow up with no love, they become mean. They become hard. And they just uncontrollable. Thank God for children. I love to tell my grandkids and my children I love them. Amen. And the Lord likes to tell us that he loves us. Praise God for that. I wouldn't want to serve a God like Allah. I wouldn't want to serve God like Allah. No way, man. You know, I don't think you ever find in the book of Christ, I can remember. I never, maybe this is in there, but I never read where Allah says he loves you. Allah sends you a word that he loves you. Allah just sends it, you know, the devil's unclean spirit. They send kill, kill, kill. It's all about hatred and all that. I got a God that loves us. Amen.
Amen.
We got a God that loves us. We got a God that loves us so much that he died for us.
Amen.
That's the kind of God I got. Amen. Woo.
Amen.
Thank God he loves us. Amen.
Amen.
Mm. Beloved, I wish above all things. Now, the Prosperity Gospel group, you know, I was reading Doc's commentary, notes on it, and he brought this out. And he says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. And that stuck me today because I was talking to Nathan. He went to a Methodist church today, and the guy was just, you know, they preach a lot of the churches around preach a prosperity gospel. Now, I believe this, if you're doing right, God, he'll provide for you. You'll end up being, if you're doing what's right, tithe, giving what you belongs to God, the Bible says, I've yet to see the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That's what David said. And God will provide for you. That's not saying you're going to be rich. But the prosperity gospel preachers, they preach, if you're not rich and you're not driving a Bentley or you're not driving a Mercedes or you're not driving a Cadillac or you're not driving some fancy car and wearing, you know, $1,000 suit and all that, you really ain't right with God. That's a lie. That's a flat-out lie. I mean, then that would say Paul was a failure, Peter was a failure, all the people in China and all the people that are living under communist China and all these other places, in Africa, they're all these Christians that are willing to give their life and they ain't got nothing. Ain't nothing. They barely have enough to eat. Then they would say they were failures as Christians. I wouldn't want to be one saying that.
Amen.
No way. Those people in Africa that loves God and they live in mud huts, and they serve him, and they praise him, and they tell about him, I wouldn't want to be the one to say, oh, you guys are failures. You guys ain't nothing. They would probably be the ones standing way ahead of us. You'd be looking up in the line, and looking up there, that's where they'd be. They're serving God, and they've been serving God with their life. You know, Jesus, you say, how do you know that? Because Jesus was in the temple one time, and when the treasurer came, the treasury was, they was taking up the money, and it was a woman, old woman came down, a widow, and put two mites in.
Yeah.
And everybody was giving of their abundance. And Jesus got excited.
Yeah.
He got excited. He said, man, what are you talking about? He got excited about this woman coming down, putting two mites in. And he said, hey, disciples, come here. Come here. Look, look. And he was calling them over. He said, look what she's doing. They said, Lord, she only gave two mites, like two pennies. He said, yeah, everybody else gave of their abundance. She gave everything she had.
Amen.
The Lord gets excited over that. You know what God will do? He blessed that woman. You know that that widow that said to Elijah, I'm going to go and get us some sticks and go home and make a little meal for me and my son, and then we're going to die. And Elijah said, you just make me one, go do this. And he said, I'll tell you what, you ain't going to die. And God multiplied things. God is able to multiply. You say, how do you know that? Because the children of Israel walked around 40 years in the wilderness with the same shoes that didn't wear out, same clothes that never wore out, and God fed them. Amen? You might not have all that you want, but you'll have all that you need.
Amen.
Thank God for that. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. And your soul ought to be prospering. I mean, your soul, man, you ought to be spiritually growing. Spiritually getting closer to him on a daily basis. But I found this to be true even in my own life. A lot of times the older we get, the farther we start falling back. I find that in my own life, and I got to fight against it. And that's where the battle is. When the Bible says put on the whole armor of God, I mean, you say, well, I got to put on armor because you're in a battle on a daily basis. And if you don't get in this book, you don't fellowship with God, you're going to start going backwards. And I see a lot of Christians been saved for 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years. And they start going further back. When you expect them to be way up there, they're way back there.
Yep.
And when it comes to their faith, they're wavering in their faith. And then they fall out of church and they blame everybody else for their problems.
Yep.
That's the way most Christians do. They'll fall out of church and they'll blame you for their problems.
Yep. Right.
Amen.
That ain't the way it is.
Right.
The what problem is them. And they can't see their own selves.
Yep.
And it's sad. It's sad. If we can't look at if you're looking in this Bible, you ought to be able to see yourself.
Yep.
And judge yourself.
Yep.
The Bible says if we judge ourselves, we'll not be judged.
Amen.
God said, you're slipping. Oh, yeah, Lord, I see that.
Amen.
I'm slipping, Lord. Help me get back up there.
Yep.
Help me get going again. I mean, folks, every day we live, you got a battle. If you're married and got family, you know what the battle, more of the battle is. You got children, you got needs, you have all these needs, and you're thinking, man, if we only had the money to do this, if we only had the money to do that, and, you know, then the devil be whispering in your ears, if God really loved you, how come he ain't doing it? If God really cared, how come he ain't giving it to you? If we only had the money. My Lord. He says in verse 3, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Not only then you love the truth and men have the truth, you can walk in the truth.
Amen.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly,
amen,
nor standeth in the way of sinners. What are you talking about standing in the way of sinners? When you have the truth and you tell the truth and you're walking in the truth, you're not standing in nobody's way to get saved.
Amen.
If you're hindering people to get saved, you're not walking in truth.
Amen.
If you're hindering a brother or sister from growing, you should be able to be, the Bible talks about edifying one another. So much the more as the day, as we see the day approaching. If you're not edifying Christians, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're tearing them down?
Yeah. Right.
You're knocking them down? You're causing them to be bitter? What are you doing with you? What are you doing with the truth, man?
Come on. Right.
I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I told you so many times about Brother Dan Gilbert. I told my wife, I said, I want to get old like Brother Dan Gilbert. Brother Dan Gilbert, just every time you seen him, he was just, hey, brother. And he was always edifying people, always trying to encourage people. And like I said, I was sitting in school, in church, and I had children, had no money. I just gave my tithe. That was it. That's all we had. And I remember sitting in church, and my wife said, boy, I wish we'd go to Wendy's. And I reached in my pocket outside, got out there, and I said, man, there was a $50 bill in my pocket. My wife said, you holding out on us? You know how it is. Your wife said, where you get that money from? You've been lying to us. No, I said, man, I don't know where it came from. And the only thing I could think of, I was sitting next to Dan Gilbert. Dan Gilbert put that money in my pocket. And Dan Gilbert went out. You say, what happened to Dan Gilbert? I watched him drive off from Pensacola with his little boy, Jimmy, and go out to, they went out to California, L.A., started church. Dan Gilbert called me up when I was in Washington, D.C. He said, Alan, why don't you come on out here, man? I got 10 churches. We can start a rescue mission. He said, right on Hollywood Boulevard. He said, there's 10,000 people roam up and down the street, homeless people, kids. 10,000 a day goes up and down Hollywood Boulevard, hoping to be discovered, but they're used and abused and all kinds of other stuff by pornography and all that stuff. And he said, we can start a rescue mission out there. And he said, I got 10 churches that said they'll back it. I prayed about it before I came here. I prayed about it. And I prayed, God, show me what to do. Show me what to do. And Dan Gilbert was out there in L.A., and his son was playing football in front of the church. A guy drunk jumped the curb, hit Jimmy. He was like 15. Was he 15, Mama? About 15 years old, killed him right in front of the church. And it about destroyed his wife. But she kept on serving God.
Amen.
And she kept on, and she got cancer. And then his son, other son came out to help him. His other son, his name is Dave Gilbert. I just talked to him. I talked to Dave Gilbert a couple nights ago or a couple weeks ago for Tori so we could find a place for her mama to go to church out there. And Dave Gilbert went and took over the church to help his dad. And Dan Gilbert, he never quit, never gave up,
Amen.
Kept on serving God, kept trying to encourage the saints. I told my wife, that's the way I want to grow old. I want to grow old, serving, helping, being a blessing,
Amen.
Seeing people saved. I don't want to become a bitter old man,
yeah.
Sit around always bitter about everybody and everything. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that person over there. There ain't nobody serving God. We might as well just go on somewhere. No, I don't want to be. That ain't the way to look at things. I don't want to do that. He says, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Thank God. Walking in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Talking about spiritual children, not only is no greater joy as young. Now, Paul, you know Paul wasn't married. John, far as I know, John wasn't married. If John was married, my Lord, his family went through hell. If John was married, I don't know if John was married or not. But he hears about Gaius' children. And then they read over here about this elder elect lady and her children. We need to start praying for our children more. Spend more time praying, even fasting for them. God, get a hold of them. Why? You raised them in the truth, right? You told them the truth. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. The Bible tells us that. So you've done your part. And even if you haven't, you honor God will still honor us. And you say, Lord, I've tried my best, and I want to try to do my best now. And I do it with my grandkids. Take your Bible, look over in Proverbs. Look what the Bible says about training children. There's a lot in the Bible about training children, especially in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20. Look at verse 11. It says, even the child is known by his doings, whether his work is pure, whether it's right. Go to chapter 22, I believe it is, 22:6. 22:6. That's the one. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Brother Bilbo talked about his dad. He said he went astray and didn't want nothing to do with the ministry and want nothing to do with serving God. But what happens is something clicks as they get around, 30, 40 years old, start waking up. They start saying, man, they really did teach me the truth. You start looking at life and you say, man, I mean, you think the kids shouldn't have to go that far to learn. They can see it around them. But a lot of times kids just get persuaded by other kids. And it says, verse 15, it says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And correcting them, a lot of times rod, my father took that literally. He beat us with anything he had his hands on. He beat us with a shovel. He beat us with a water hose. He beat us with anything he had his hands on. It turned my brother bitter towards him. My dad, we're riding on the road after my dad got saved. He was 70 years old, 70. I still got his old dump truck. I go out and sit in that thing sometimes and crank it up. I can still smell him. It's still in there. He smoked a cigar, and I can still smell that thing. When I crank that thing up, I can smell that cigar. And I remember looking over at him. I was driving. He looked over at me, and he said, he's crying. He said, forgive me. He said, I've been a fool. I've been a fool all my life. He said, forgive me. I said, Dad, you ain't got to say nothing. I said, I was the biggest fool. I was the bigger one. And so when a person gets to an age and something clicks, they should anyway. It should. And it'll click in them. And they'll say, hey, man, this world is exactly what they said it is. It's just a pit. Amen. And everybody's out for themselves. And a Christian shouldn't be that way. A Christian should be trying to help other people. I raised my kids to help people. I raised them to help people. And I'm raising the grandkids to help people, trying to. Don't want them to be selfish and have to think, it's all mine now. I'm going to keep everything. Raise people to help people. You want to help people. Man, what else you got in life? Hoard everything. Try to hold on to everything. It's a blessing to see God use you to help other people. And even though sometimes it's for people to get help, I was that kind of person. I didn't like nobody helping me. It was hard for me, my pride. I've got a lot of pride, and so do you. Got a lot of pride. Hard for me to take anything from anybody like that. And some people are that way. I don't care. You can be poor as Job's turkey, man. You can be poor, but... Still, pride was set in. But let's stop right there, man. Stop.